Okay, much to be in prayer about. Let's remember Brother Bill and the Krecha family. There's extensive surgery. Bill will be in the hospital probably at least 5 or 6 days, from my understanding. Pardon me? Oh, Albany Medical Center. Yes. Yeah, thank you, Earl. Much to be in prayer about. Okay. I'm sorry. Thank you. I knew there's something else. This is the last week that the directory to be adjusted, changed. Please correct. Just check it out and make sure that we all the updates and corrections are there, please. Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. At this time, we'll hear from our brother Wayne. Oh, okay. Great. All right. Okay. Bear with me. That's often a dilemma I have. It's up here, but it can't come out here. And number four, please.
Hello, everybody. Good morning. It's good to be here with you again. I count on that privilege indeed to be here with you. If you want to read with me as we consider the gospel together, turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15. Luke 15, it's a parable. There's three parables in Luke 15, and I want to read the last one. And the parable the Lord told many, and it's an earthly story with an heavenly application teaching us spiritual truth. We'll begin reading, excuse me, verse 11. And he, the Lord Jesus, said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he rose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. And God will bless the public reading of his precious word. Someone wrote about sin, very true words. And sin will take you further than you want to go. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. And will cost you more than you want to pay. And they are certainly true and very profound words. I had to learn that the hard way. I didn't know the gospel. I never heard the gospel till I was 30. So I spent all those years out there in this sinful world in bondage to sin. And if you're here this morning and you've never experienced deliverance from sin, not only when we're saved, not only is there deliverance from the penalty of sin, and that's banishment from God's presence for all eternity, but we're also delivered from the power of sin. Sin is a power in our life. And that's why the sooner we come, the better. There are any young ones here? I see there's a few. God speak to you. Anyone here is not saved this morning. We're set free in a moment of time when I simply understand where my sins are taking me and that I'm going my own way in life, and I turn to Christ. He is God's salvation. So may God bless you this morning. This is a very well-known parable, as commonly called the prodigal son, who went away and he had a desire. That's how it begins. He's living at home under the restraints of his father in love. But he desired to go his own way. In his mind, if I go my own way in life and I have no restraints, I have no one telling me what to do or directing me, I'll be free. That's how we think. We think freedom is just getting out there and getting what I want, when actually it's bondage. It's bondage to sin and to Satan and the spirit of this world. and the lusts of the flesh. And we can't help ourselves. We need God in our lives. Now, of course, he didn't know that, but this is the way we think. I can remember I felt the same way. Finally, I could get out from under the restraints of my mother and father. And I thought the same way. Then I'll be a happy young man. And the longer it went on, the more miserable I became. His desire, Father, give me. You notice what he's saying, me. Which falleth to me. And the word there is that which belongs to me. That which I have a right to. And that's how we feel inside. He desired that which he felt he was entitled to, that he might live independently and go his own way. And that's a desire that we have as young, when we're young, we're getting older. And the bottom line is a parable told by the Lord Jesus in Luke 19:14. The bottom line was, they killed the son, we will not have this man to reign over us. And that's why so many will not come to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a reluctance. I like to be in control. I want to do what I want to do. And I will not have that man reign over me. And that is the unpardonable sin. That's why people will be banished from the presence of God for all eternity. And it's not so much because of what I've done in my life, you know, the bad things and so on. It's because of what I didn't do. I would not bow the knee. I would not turn from going my own way. I was stubborn. And that's the unpardonable sin, is the rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord, my God, my Savior. And to delight in saying, as David did in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. He leadeth me. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness. And those of us who are saved, born again in this room, we delight to follow him. True joy and peace and contentment is not getting what I want out of life. It's found in Christ and Christ alone. To take the place of a servant and read the Word of God and find out what kind of woman God wants me to be, what kind of man God wants me to be, and to have a longing to live exactly that way. There's joy and peace in believing. I can remember our oldest son, Wade. He's now, he's 37 now. The day he left home. And he wasn't saved at that time. And in the university, I drove him up, my wife and I. And I was in his room in the dormitory. And I knew what he was thinking. You know, I'm finally getting no restraints from me. No dad telling me, you know, you'll be home at least by 12:30, and I don't want to smell alcohol on your breath, and no drugs, and all these things. Well, now he thinks in his mind he's free. And I remember I held him and I kissed him, and I said, "Well, wait, there's an assembly here, and I hope you'll go and hear the gospel and have fellowship with the saints, and I hope you read your Bible." He said, "Oh, Dad, you can count on it. You can count on it. Yes, I will. I'll be reading my Bible." And I know they're just in the teeth out, these words. I knew him well. And in his thinking, I knew what he was thinking. "Dad, please leave. Please leave. I'm going to do my own thing now." And he found out the hard way. He did. And finally, God got his full attention. And one day, he turned and trusted Christ. He was a miserable young man then. And now he's a joyful young man and has been for all these years he's been saved. A desire. And then the departure. It says he took, notice, his journey. His own journey, personal journey. "I will. I'll do what I want and I'll get what I want and I'll go where I want to go," and so on. His journey. But notice what it's called, the world, by God. It's a far country. And this world is a far country. It's far, far away from God. The world did not have any use for Christ when he was here. And it's the same today. No one wants to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, say, "Well, you have your religion, I have my religion, you respect mine, I respect yours," you know. I try and tell people, you know, I don't have a religion. There are no religions in the Bible. I have salvation in Christ.
That pretty well ends the conversation. I don't want to think about Christ, because when the world thinks about the Lord Jesus Christ, what comes to our minds? We know why he died. We are the ones he died for, sinners. And people don't like to be reminded of their sin. They don't. They want to think good about themselves. Walking out the door after the church service is over. And I used to be that way. I felt very good about myself, you know. And I think God, he's pleased with me. And our hearts deceive us. And those church bells are ringing and calling people in. About 95% of them, maybe I'm being generous, they do not preach God the gospel, that there's only one way to heaven, and that's through knowing Christ, repentance toward God, turning from going my own way, and humbling myself before him. They don't hear that. We're all God's children. The verse in Galatians 3:26 says, we are all God's children. That's where they end it. We're all God's children. You're okay, I'm okay, and it's all good. Don't worry about it. God loves us all, and just enjoy life and do your own thing. And everybody leaves. That's exactly what they wanted to hear. That evil band, Satanic Possessed Man, ACDC in Australia, Antichrist, Devil's Children. Have you ever heard their song, Hell's Bells? Satan gives them insight. Why do they? And when he's on stage, that band's on stage. I had somebody tell me he was there. And a big church bell comes right up out of the floor. And Angus Young, you know, the guitar player with demonic hands up and down those frets. And he goes over and rings the church bell. And the name of the song is Hell's Bells. So, you know, they understand. Satan's giving them insights. And you go in that place, they know. They know ye must be born again. And we're not all God's children. And all is not well. But men and women are deceived by the God of this world. Galatians 3:26 says, we are all the children of God, comma, by faith in Christ Jesus. So if you've been thinking all your life that our Father which art in heaven, that's a prayer I was taught. No, 30 years old before I found out he was not my Father. And he's not your Father either. If you're not saved and sure of heaven, you have never turned from going your own way and submitted to Christ my Lord, and we do what our Lord says, and I want to. If you've never done that, my friend, God's not your Father. We must be born again, born from above, into God's family. And we're actually born children of the devil. That's the truth in God's Word. So the far country is the world. And there it says, he wasted his substance with riotous living, or living abandonedly, no restraints, excess, that's what the word means. He's having a fine time, he's got money. He can do this and do that. And I'm sure he had lots of friends. Proverbs says the rich man, he's got all kinds of friends. Poor man doesn't have any friends. They want to be around him. You know, I got to pay his way and so on. He had lots of friends. We're all on our own journey. All we like sheep have gone astray. Every one of us, we're born going our own way. We thank God that He tells us these things, and then he tells us how to be delivered from sin. I've got to stop. I've had enough of living for me, bringing pleasure to me. Anybody who lives their life that way, bringing pleasure to themselves, they're the most miserable people in the world. Because it doesn't do one thing for me. I'm never content. I'm never satisfied. Only Christ gives satisfaction and contentment. It says, notice what it's called throughout the chapter, where he's at, the world. Picture of this world in which we live is that land, fields, that's the world. Esau, the flesh, a man of the fields, a hunter, hunting for things in the field, in the world, to make me happy. Verse 15, that country. Verse 25, in the field. The prodigal's brother, he was in the field, left in the field. He didn't love grace and mercy. He wasn't happy that his younger brother had come back. You know, what's all that noise and the dance, the music and everything? He wasn't delightful. He's a picture of a self-righteous man or a self-righteous woman. I'm okay, you know. I do good things, and I'm sure God's pleased with me. No grace, no mercy. He was not happy. And when he speaks to his father, he doesn't say, my brother, your son. And the father kindly rebukes him. And when he refers to him, he says, your brother, he's your brother. But I can see you're angry. And he's left in the field. Didn't go in the house, the father's house, to rejoice. He stayed there. That's where he's left. A picture of an unsaved man. Esau again in Genesis 25, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field. Well, God has cursed this earth. We know that. He's cursed the earth. And here are men and women. The word means doomed to punishment. This world is doomed to punishment. And men and women have this idea, it's just going to go on and on and on and on. You know, God says, no, it's not going to go on and on. One day the curtain's coming down. It's all over. Right now, what delightful age to live in. It's called the age of grace. Receiving what I don't deserve. But one day, there'll be no gospel preached in this building or any other building. That the Christians will be gone from here. It's devastation. This world, like the Titanic, when it left Liverpool, it was doomed to punishment as soon as it left port. And the challenge, they wrote a challenge of God on there. They got God's attention, what they did. They said, even God himself cannot sink this ship. Well, they crossed the line. Men and women can do that today. Cross a line. And God says, that's enough. And that was enough. We know the story, the tragedy of the Titanic maiden voyage. 1,500 plus died. And they actually refused to believe the truth. They were told the ship's going down. And they said, there's no way it's going down. And they stayed in there on the dance floor and so on, with the band playing, having a wonderful time. And then suddenly it dawns on them. It is going down. It is. And there's no more lifeboats left. I stayed in there. And that's what's happening today. People are, they don't believe the truth. When they hear it preached, thus saith the Lord, they don't believe. And they stay in the world. And I don't know, some know they need to be saved. I guess their thinking is, well, later on, when I've had my fill, then I'll get saved. And that's just exactly what the devil wants people to believe. He doesn't say there's no heaven or no hell. He's very crafty. He just says there's no hurry. There's no hurry. You young people, oh, he says there's no hurry. Eat, drink, and be merry out there. You find out there. And God says, now come now, ye young people, come now in the days of thy youth, because the evil days are coming. And they are. Our oldest grandson, 13, turned 13 last Lord's Day. Now he's in the middle school. And I just cry out to God daily that God would preserve him. Because now he sees the older teenagers and they're tasting of the sinful things of the world. And they influence the younger people. Hope you younger people are listening. That's your future. If you don't get saved, the evil days are coming. And it's more difficult to be saved then. Because sin has a grip on you. And Satan will deceive you. And say, well, you leave all these things, all your buddies and your friends and so on, well, you'll be miserable. He is a master deceiver. Capital D. So God says, you come now, in the days of thy youth. The sooner the better. Now, Matthew 16:18, the Lord Jesus Christ said, I will build my church. Most people, when they hear church, they think of a building. The word is not a building. It is a called out company of people, called out of this world. The contrary parts. Those that have their portion in this life only, that's all they want. God says, when you hear the gospel call, you turn around and come out of the world. And out of all the systematic religions that do not preach the truth, come out of the world and come to me and become a child of God through faith in me. It's God's calling. All your life, if you're here this morning and you're not a believer, and you've known the gospel, things have happened in your life. I know they have. You wonder why. God says, he speaketh once, Job said, he speaketh once, yea, twice. and man perceiveth it not. It's God in love calling you all your life, calling you to himself. He wants to bless you and bring you into glory at the end of your life. But if you never, ever will turn and answer the call, you'll never see heaven. He said, ye must be born again. Well, if Jesus Christ said, ye must be born again, except a man or a woman be born again, he cannot even see the kingdom of God. He won't even see it, let alone be there. May God bless you as you hear this gospel. Now, and then we have a drought, this famine. And notice the timing of God. We see God's love here. There's no coincidence in this parable. He spent all. And as soon as all his money is gone, a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want, to lack, be without, suffer need, spend all. As soon as he spent all, the perfect timing of God in love, now there's a great famine. He's getting the boy's attention is what he's doing. He's getting the boy's attention. And God sometimes has to bring famine in the land in my life. Or like the earthquake that woke up the jailer in Acts 16. Something wake us up. An earthquake. And people get them all the time in their lives. And they don't perceive it's God calling me. The license plate I saw, capital Y, that's M-E-E. Why me? People say that all the time. But why me? Why did this happen to me and not my neighbor? Well, God in love is seeking to get people's attention. Because he's a God of love. God is love. I read in the news, I cut this out of the newspaper a number of years ago. I'll just read it. A young boy, 11 years old, Sean Newman, was tragically killed in St. John, New Brunswick, where I'm from. And this was in the newspaper, written by his father. 1 year ago this very night, son Sean was called away. Now, Sean was a Christian, to dwell with God in heaven's abode for eternity to stay. He died with peace. When he was here and lived with us, our priorities were wrong. We worked hard to gain material things. For money and riches we did long. This is his parents, his father. But when you lose the most precious thing that you ever hoped to possess, his son, life takes on a whole new meaning. To that I must confess. I'm a better person now than what I was before. It took the losing of my son to send me in prayer to the floor. I wouldn't wish Sean back again. 'Twould be for him most sad to snatch him back from heaven's gates, even to be with his loving dad. So since he can't return to me, I've made sure I'll go to him. I've invited Christ into my life and to cleanse me from my sin. That's what it took. In love, God took the object of his love down here away from his father in the glory that he might get the dad's attention. And he did. And he was saved. You don't have to wait, you know, for the earthquake to come in your life, for your world to be turned upside down. God doesn't want to do that, but sometimes in love he does that. He wants us to be saved when I hear the gospel. So if God speaks to your heart this morning, and you know it's God calling you, God says, now's the time. Now's the day of salvation for you. Come while you know I'm calling you. And you think, what a marvelous thing is that? That's how much he loves us. The mighty God of heaven dealing personally with you. I thank God he dealt with me. The great tragedy of man. They don't perceive that it's God. Sorry. Excuse me. I didn't know what happened. Okay. A farmer had a mule. And his friend was over. And he said, you know, I got a mule out there. He'll do anything that I say. Well, they're stubborn things, you know. And the man said, well, I got to see this. So they went out in the barn. First thing the farmer did is get a plank about 3 feet long, an inch thick. Took that plank and he whacked the mule on top of the head. And the man said, what in the world did you do that for? He said, well, first I have to get his attention. Then I'll do what I say. Sometimes it takes a whack in the head, you know. shaken up by God to get our attention because He loves us. He loves you. So the drought, the desire, the departure, God in love brings a drought in the land, which caused this boy to come to a deliberation. He's doing some thinking now, and when he came to himself, that means the return of a sound conscience. You know, Satan just gently rocks us to sleep, you know, and so we don't have a conscience. My heart goes out to young people today because of what's happened. Everything's okay. The government says everything is okay. I thank God for the Canadian government. They sanction everything. If I had told my mother, I got married in 72, if I had told her, Lena and I are just going to live together, she would have been absolutely ballistic. You know, such a thing was unheard of in the world. Shameful thing. And today the government says, you know what? It's all good. It's all good. Everything. And then even legalizing marijuana up in Canada, some of your states down here, Satan gets you in that stuff in your mind. He's got you. He'll have your mind completely. That's exactly what he wants. Sanctioning men with men, women with women. You can even raise children and so on. All good. It's all good. And the young people today are confused. You know, their conscience kind of gone away from them. And I know one thing, young people today, I hope you're like that. I see young people here, if you're not saved, they are doing some thinking, you know. You can't pull the wool over young people's eyes. They look at this world. They see the fallacy, hypocrisy of religion. They look at the government. You know, the corrupt governments all over the world, you know. Even Charles de Gaulle said, you know, we're surprised when people believe us because we don't even believe what we're saying ourselves. I just want to get reelected. That's all I want. And the young people sense something is coming. Something's happening. Nuclear warheads, biological warfare. Only God's hand is staying that. Because we're all lunatics out there. They would love to push that button, you know. God's not going to let that happen till the church has gone out of this world. And today, young people, they've got an ear. Different than they used to be. I have a gospel tract, What Must I Do to Go to Hell? I didn't even give it to them. I just stand there, the cashier, whatever, and I hold it like that. I say, you know, would you like to know the answer to that? And they do, without exception. And they reach out and take it, open it up, and inside, there's nothing, a blank page. What must I do to go to hell? Nothing. Just, you're in the far country. You're going your own way. You just keep on going your own way. And that's where you'll end up. And on the back, of course, how a lovely, simple gospel message, how to be saved. A man in London left the country for a drive. This is when vehicles just came in. He was a wealthy man. He's driving through the country, and he sees this boy, you know, the straw hat and straw in his mouth, you know, works on a farm and everything, like a country bumpkin to him. He's got a little fun with the boy, what he thought. So he stopped and rolled down the window. And he says, boy, can you tell me the way to hell? Now, there's a little town, he didn't know this, a little town that sounded like hell, wasn't called hell. The young boy thought he was referring to that town. And he said, sir, you just keep on going the way you're going and you'll soon be there. Ruined his Sunday afternoon. He knew the gospel well. I don't know the end of the story. But that's it. Just keep on going the way you're going. That's all you have to do. Just keep on doing your own thing. My friend, understand, thus saith the Lord. And when God, whatever this book says is truth. When God says, I will do something, He does it. Without exception. In the Old Testament, hundreds of times God said, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And you know, without exception, He did. Without exception. And when Jesus Christ said in John 14, He said, I will come again. Well, you can count on it. You can't stop what's coming. He's coming. The sooner you get to Christ, the better. So there's a deliberation going on. God opened his eyes to the true nature of the world and himself. You know what the world is, of course? Every man for himself. That's what it is out there. Every man for himself. What pleases me is what I want. My wife and I aren't getting along too well, you know, and so on. Well, that's all right. That's okay. I'll find another lady. And she's thinking, I'll find another man. You know, every man for himself, what pleases me. That country, a citizen of that country, where did he send them? This is the world. Into his fields to feed swine. You know, the boy's like he's starving to death. Watching the pigs eat the husks of the corn. He fain would have them. It means he didn't get them. Now, Spurgeon wrote this about the world. The world is a bleak house, a chill, an empty corridor without God. And men are orphans, and life is hopeless, and death is a starless night. If Jesus Christ is not known and loved, he who trusts his soul with Christ has found the key of the great secret, the clue that unlocks the truth, the key, it's Christ. You only find it in here. You look in here. We pray that he'd reveal himself to you mightily today. Now, what followed the deliberation was determination. He said, I will. There's his determination. He's thinking this thing through. Sound conscience. I will arise and go to my Father and will say unto him, Father. Key words in this parable, I have sinned. I have sinned. That's what God wants to hear from your heart. And Lord, have mercy on me. I've been sinning against you all my life, doing my own thing, but I'm done with that now. I have sinned. It's easy to say we've all sinned. It kind of comforts me, doesn't it? Well, everybody sins, you know. Everybody sins. We all sin. But how about this? I sin. I have sinned. Because you have. And so have I. We all have. That's the beginning of the journey to God. And it's not a long journey. It's a turnaround and repentance of heart. One must be determined. Number one priority. In Jeremiah 29, he said, you seek me with all your heart. Men and women are not doing that. They're not seeking with all their heart. That's why they're not saved. They aren't seeking at all. God, you must seek me with all your heart. And he makes a promise, I will be found of you. Again, I will. It's a promise he makes. If you long for him, he'll reveal himself to you. I remember visiting a sister in Christ in the meeting. She wasn't saved. Her name was Nancy. We were having gospel meetings, a brother and I, in our home assembly. We're into the second week. This sister, Joan, trying to get her sister out to hear the gospel. Always an excuse, I can't come. So we went to see her, this other preacher and I. She let us in. And we're sitting down. There's a soap opera on television. She never even turned it down. No, she wouldn't miss anything in the soap opera. These ungodly, immoral soap operas going on. And she was just one, paying token attention to her. And I said to her, Nancy, I said, shut the thing off right now. Shut it off. But she shut it off. Because she said this, I've been seeking God, but I can't find him. I said, you know what, Nancy? You have not been seeking God. Don't tell me that. You've heard the gospel many, many times from your sister. And this is the second week. If you were seeking God, then why have you not been out to the gospel meetings? They're over in 3 nights. You've been out once. I said, Nancy, if you really are seeking God, you'll get your Bible out, Gospel of John, down on your knees, and you'll cry out to God, reveal thyself to me. Reveal thyself to me, Lord. That's seeking with all your heart. Now, I just left her with that. She's never come out. Now she's a pathetic drug addict, needle in her veins now. This, I'm talking like 15 years gone by. Miserable woman. God calls you again. If he's calling you today and you know it, then today is the day. Come to him today. He's just waiting. God does not decide where we go. He doesn't decide if I go to hell or if I go to heaven. This is misconception. This good and bad thing, you know, and God says, well, I guess you're all right. It doesn't work that way. We decide where we're going. You decide where you're going by what you do with Christ. And if you don't choose him and bow the knee and finally surrender to him, you have chosen your destiny. You have, not God. You choose Christ as your Savior,
you've chosen heaven, the Father's house, as your destiny. He made a decision. And then what a discovery. The decision was, he arose and came to his Father. He was determined and he followed through with it. I will arise. Someone wrote, to every man and woman appeareth a highway and a low. And every man and woman decideth which way his soul shall go. You decide. We decide. But what a great discovery. And when he was yet a great way off, the Father saw him. An amazing, lovely story. It's revealing the heart of God for sinners. He's watching for his boy, isn't he? He's watching and waiting and longing for his boy to come home. And he sees him. Yet a great way off. Before the boy saw his father, the father saw him. Can you picture that father running? He's come home. He was longing for his boy to come home. He loved him. He let him go. He wanted to learn the hard way. Then, my son, then go learn the hard way. But he longed for him to come home. Now he sees him. And he runs. The boy probably can't believe his eyes. He runs to him. He had compassion on him. He loved his boy. He fell on his neck. He embraced him. And he kissed him. Now the son has a prepared speech. He's, I know I can't be a son anymore, but he's thinking of the servants. Maybe he'll let me back and I can be a servant. So he says, the son said, I've sinned against heaven before thee. I'm not worthy to be called thy son. He has more to say, but the father interrupts him. The father knows the boy's heart. Actually, no words were even needed. God knows our hearts when I'm truly sorry for what I've done. The sorrow I've caused myself, grief to God and my dear father. He didn't even finish his speech. The father spoke to the servants. And he says, you bring forth the best robe for my son. Put a ring on his hand. You put shoes on his feet. Had a fatted calf all ready for him in case he came home. God's longing, God's loving, and his grace. And then the delight. What delight there was for this boy. What a discovery. My father loved me that much. And what delight. They began to be merry. You know, we don't read about ever ending, do we? That's the Christian life. It never ends. It begins the moment I trust Christ. Began to be merry. Rejoicing is the word. They rejoiced. And it goes on throughout the Christian's life. That's why you must notice, I'm sure you do if you're not saved, we are a very happy people. We are content. Rich or poor, good health, bad health. We are content. We're rejoicing. As sorrowful, you're always rejoicing. The word happy comes in an Icelandic word. You know, happiness. Well, happiness depends on what's happening in my life. Things are going well in my life, I'm happy. Things aren't so well in my life, I'm not so happy. Depends on circumstances and people. But God has joy. He has joy. He said in John 16 and 34, he said, my joy I give unto you, the very joy of God. And in John 15, he says, I want you to know fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. That's what he has to give. He puts it inside. He said, no man can take that away from you. Nobody can touch the joy of the believer, no matter what happens. We live in a border town in St. Stephen, and we see these tourist buses coming through. And one caught my eye. It was called the Good News Express. And underneath was their slogan. Put joy in the journey. You never have joy in your journey. Never. You won't even know what it is to be joyful in Christ until you trust Him as your Savior. The devil's been deceiving you all your life, keeping you away from Him. Oh, you'll be a miserable man, a miserable woman. Look at all the things you love. You want to give those up? Those pleasures of sin for a season? You want to give those up?
You'll be a miserable young man. He's a deceiver.
Just in closing, there's a statue of a dog and with an epitaph over in Switzerland, St. Bernard's. God is the dog instinct. They can smell 12 feet under the snow. And they rescue people who've died, you know, skiing, mountain climbing, and avalanches. The dog's name was Barry. And this dog saved 42 lives. But he met his own death, saving the 42, this last man. The man was, I don't know how long he was under the snow. When he dug down, the St. Bernard dug down, the man was almost, he was starting to freeze. Big St. Bernard stretched out upon him with the warmth of his body to bring this man, to revive him again. Now the man woke up, and in his confused state, he looked up and he thought it was a wolf on him, pulled out his knife and plunged it in the side of the dog. The dog just whimpered and left a bloody trail back home, lay down at his master's door, and he died. 42 lives he saved. Why did the man kill the dog? He thought the dog was coming to devour him, but the dog was coming to deliver him. And there's the misconception. God's not, Satan is a devourer. Satan is the one who takes away and takes away, and finally with rejoicing when he sees one die in their sins because they're going down to the same place he's going. The Lord Jesus Christ, he's coming to deliver you. Deliver you from sadness, from sins, the sorrow sin brings to life. He's coming to bring you delight. Just a misconception, and the deceiver makes sure people, they actually believe that. So if he's knocking on your heart's door this morning, do understand it's no small thing. And please understand this. Don't take it for granted that he'll ever speak to you again. If he's speaking to you now, and you know he's calling you, don't take it for granted he'll speak again like to you like this. Because sometimes you've crossed the line, and God says, enough. You don't want my son. Then you've chosen your destiny. So may this be the day of days for you. God's calling, and you come. You trust him. And the only regret you'll ever have is what took me so long. That's the only regret Christians have. Oh, why didn't I come before? It's a beautiful life, a wonderful life to be one of God's children. May God bless you. I'll close in prayer, yes? Yes? Father in heaven, in the worthy, wonderful name of thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, we draw near to thee and thank thee, Father, forever sending thy Son, the darling of thy bosom, into this world. We thank thee for judging him for our sins on the cross, not as Father, but as a holy and righteous God, a judge. What a wonderful Savior, all in love for us, Father. We thank thee for the Bible. We thank thee for the truth which sets us free. And we thank thee for the privilege we've had to speak well of thy Son again this morning, to lift him up. And we pray for any here, young or old, who are not thine, gracious God. May this be the day of days for them. Bless, we pray, Father, thy gospel, in that precious name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you for listening.